This meeting is being live streamed. Do you want to leave the meeting? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yep. Bye. Peace out, bitches.
Oh, they got it. Damn it. Hi. I'm here. We're live.
Hello.
We is live. I got it. Okay, there we go.
I'll leave it to you, Hestia.
Me? Yay. Hi people, we are here. As you see, my bad, I was kind of lagging. I was looking for something in my phone. We are back. As you see, we have our Bella Boo back here today.
Yeah,
your presence has been much missed.
Very much.
Did you kind of want to go over anything about why you weren't here, or do you just want to get right into it?
Well, if you guys heard, I think the last episode, I think Tessia shared with you all that my second half, Clyde, is in the hospital. It's very serious. He is progressing. He's had a few setbacks. He's still in the hospital. So anybody who's reached out or, you know, have done any healing works or anything for him, I just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, well. So today,
I'm not one for many words unless I'm on a soapbox.
Yeah.
And there's no soapbox yet.
Yeah, it's all good. I think everybody kind of knows, if you've been here for a while, we tend to be a little private for obvious reasons. Like, one, that's just kind of our lifestyle. But I think we've kind of mastered the art of sharing a lot, but still remaining private people. Like, we can talk to you guys about a lot of stuff, but keep the details enough to where we still feel safe and secure. So yeah, that will also tie in today's topic too.
Yes,
which
it will.
We will be talking about.
If it makes you guys feel any better, for those of
don't overshare to make other people feel better though. Like, if you don't want to say anything else.
You shush. I can handle it.
Sorry, everybody. I am in like really defensive sister mode right now. Like, if you bother Bella at any point in time in the near future, you're gonna see a side of me that you didn't know existed.
we have over 1,200 subscribers now, which is awesome. Yeah. So there are technically over 1,200 of you that actually know more than some of my family members do. So we'll just leave it at that.
You are privileged.
Sometimes it's like that. But like I was saying, us being more private kind of ties into today's topic, or at least part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Today we will be discussing the witch's pyramid. I know that we've mentioned it and brought it up numerous times over the years. But,
and Bella did an awesome video about it.
I actually did a video about it too. But
and we'll link to that after we're done.
And I had suggested this as a topic because even though I went over what it was, I think that there's a lot of things that we can talk about in regards to it and what it truly means to us specifically, what it might mean to you as a listener, what it could mean to you. And I think it's really, even though it's not universal across all traditions, all practices, all cultures, I think that if you've not heard of it before, you'll probably say to myself, that's kind of obvious. I kind of do that already. And so I think it's just I think it's important, especially if you are newer, to really hear about it and understand it.
Yeah.
Because there is definite meaning behind it.
There's a lot of good meanings behind it.
Do you want to do like your usual intro, Hestia, of our housekeeping stuff?
Sure. So before we get into the Witches Pyramid, don't forget we have books on Amazon. We'll link everything below. You can find us mostly on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, and I think Bella's still loosely on Amino, right? Are you still over there?
Yeah.
So you could find us those places. Don't forget we have our website where we have blogs and we have book recommendations and stuff that you can find on our website. I think that's it for now. Don't forget, we have books. If you haven't bought our books, buy our books.
I will say apologies if you go on our website anytime soon. We are a little bit behind in it. Life happens. But it does get updated every once in a while. So apologies if you look at it and go, why isn't this updated?
Yeah.
We're not ignoring it. It's just
basically what the main problem with this is Bella's the one that really knows how to do it. Look, maintaining a website that you didn't pay somebody else to build for you is incredibly difficult, especially when you did not go to school for it. This is
hard. Exactly.
I have never felt dumber in my life. So bear with us. We'll get there. But our computer person is busy. So we're doing what we can. Also, don't forget that we are now live every Sunday. Every other Sunday, like today, will be in the evening as per usual, and then next Sunday and every other Sunday following that will be our morning show, where it's mostly going to be just me and Brandy.
Yes.
But will we be
everybody
bitching
else
about
is like fuck
friendly.
You that's too early. I get it. But some people are early people, some people are late people. Catch us when
some
you catch us.
Some people live in earlier time zones. Some people live in later time zones.
Yeah, we touched on that on our first live too. Like, they'll be here when we can. We'll make adjustments for time when they can, or, you know, so that we can get you guys on too. But yeah, we explained, like, you're an hour behind us, and then Jason's, I think, 3 hours behind us.
Two or three, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. So 10 a.m. our time is a job waking up for him, so no. I get it, but yeah.
And of course, anyways, that show is not got a specific topic. That's just us bitching and ranting about shit while we have our coffee in the morning.
Yeah, it's much more loose, more just whatever the hell we want to talk about at that given moment.
Yeah.
And these days, 9 o'clock in the morning for me is I'm on the road. So
yep. Yeah. Oh, also, my astrology pot or my astrology show will start. Wait, is it next week or the following week? I think it's the following week. It's one of the two. Sorry. It's been chaotic for us all. So either next week or the following week on Monday mornings at the same time, 11, we will be doing my astrology show.
Yes.
Where I'll try to teach a little bit of some basics. I don't want to get too teachy with it though. I'm not good at it. But if you want like questions answered about your natal chart or just specific placements, I'll discuss astrological magic.
Yeah.
It's gonna be kind of loosey goosey, but astrology based. So
yeah,
I will see you guys Mondays. Every other Monday. Monday? We'll start with every other Monday.
Yes. So for those who've been asking for Hestia astrology, there's your answer.
Yeah, so I can stop ignoring your messages on Instagram now, because I do that for a reason. I'm never on Instagram. Please stop messaging me there. I don't check those messages. I'm not there anymore. Every once in a while I'll have to go on there for business purposes, and I'll see that I have a bunch of questions about astrology or astrology books. Catch me on Mondays.
Yeah.
Because I'll directly answer your questions, but I'm not on Instagram anymore. So unless it's my email is on both of my Instagram pages though. So if you need to get a hold of me for astrology readings or anything, email me and I'll put my email contact.
Are you going to be doing the astrology episodes live also, or are you going to be doing those?
Yep, they'll be live. It's just easier for me to do lives.
She will be live, and I will be reading your comments and questions for you for her, so she can discuss it. And she's not talking to a wall.
Huh?
Hestia has a personal assistant. Look at that.
It's my. I'm
moving up in the world.
I'm picking up the slack of my original duty to the podcast as secretary. I think I've been doing a fantastic job lately.
I noticed how she threw on the word lately. Not all the time.
Okay, I used to do half.
I've been all right lately.
I've been all right lately, so see? Secretary here, if you all have questions, I will relay them. Anywho.
Okay. So, which is Pyramid. Yes, as I mentioned, did do a video on that. So we'll put the link to that video at the end of this. If you have not seen it and you want to watch it, you can watch it. But to give you a little bit of a background, so first of all, as I mentioned, Witch's Pyramid is not something that is formal throughout every culture, every tradition, every magical system. But again, as I also mentioned, if you've not heard of it before, you'll find that it's pretty reasonable and pretty obvious what the Witch's Pyramid stands for and what those components are. Now, the Witch's Pyramid actually was not the Witch's Pyramid, was not considered the Witch's Pyramid until maybe 50, 60 years ago. So the Witch's Pyramid is new in a sense of it being known as the Witch's Pyramid. The concept was actually introduced by Eliphas Levi in the 1800s. So this is really a concept that's more, I guess you can say, sort of loosely ceremonial, more ceremonial magic based, because that was really more Eliphas Levi's forte. And it was originally made up of four items. And so it was known as the four pillars of the mage, of the magician. And Aleister Crowley was the one who came in and added the fifth, which is to go, which we'll talk about in a second. But so the four are to know, to will, to dare, to keep silent, and to go. So that last concept of to go, actually Aleister Crowley introduced when he was around. And it wasn't until, like I said, 50, 60 some years ago that the witchcraft community as a whole decided to adopt those concepts and coined it as the Witch's Pyramid. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of a background of where that comes from. So it's new, but it's not new, if that kind of makes sense.
Absolutely. They just revamped
the label for it is new.
Yeah, the labels for it.
Yeah. And because, I don't want to necessarily say that there's more witches than ceremonial magicians, but at least publicly, it seems like there's more witches. And so the concept, I think, has really spread a little quicker since witches kind of adopted it.
Yeah.
So let's start with the first one. The first one is to know. And so basically what that means is it has to do with the knowledge of a magician, or in our case, the knowledge of the witch. We naturally, inherently, and instinctively are always looking to learn, always looking to grow our knowledge. Knowledge is, as you know, power. That phrase, knowledge is power, that is a very powerful phrase. Knowledge truly is power, because obviously the more you know, the more that you can apply to your magic. And so I wanted to kind of throw that out there and hear what your guys' thoughts are on the importance of knowledge in our craft.
I mean, we've always talked about being the everlasting, you know, the ever student, you know, forever student. And, you know, the more you know about your craft and your everything that involves it, the more balanced, I guess you could say, the more balanced and confident you're going to be in your craft. So, you know, just being a forever student and constantly feeding yourself, your brain of the knowledge and the info is going to keep you on track and balanced as a practitioner. So, I mean,
I would agree. And I think this brings us back to, you've heard us talk about, you know, how, especially, and I don't mean to make this a generational issue, but it seems like a lot of the newer, younger folks, you know, kind of look to quote unquote gain their knowledge through very superficial means, like they gain superficial knowledge. You know, just from the internet, or, you know, from what somebody else says in social media, a stranger that they don't know.
From like 15-second videos on TikTok, or a 2-sentence paragraph from somebody in a chat room.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that's the first thing, especially when it comes to ceremonial magic, is one of the things that, you know, again, if you look at Eliphas Levi, if you look at ceremonial magicians, not to say that witches don't take their practice seriously, but ceremonial magicians, they are what this is my personal opinion. I consider them, they're like the nerds of the magical occult world.
Do you know, it's funny you said that, because I kind of, it's funny you say that, because I think of them kind of like the monks of the witchcraft world, like they take that shit hella ultra extra serious. Like, you think you take your shit serious? No, not really.
No.
If you have a hobby that isn't mundane in any way, you don't take it as serious as them. Their entire life revolves around that shit.
When we talk about knowledge in that sense, and where that concept comes from, the study. These guys study for years, and they study with teachers, formal teachers. You know, a lot of them are not self-studies, like many witches do, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a bad or a good thing, but just understand that's why it's number one, and that's why it really is a strong focus, because, again, its basis is from a group of practitioners that these people, knowledge is probably one of the most, the cornerstones of their practice, because it's not just about the knowing of the different things, it's really knowing formal techniques, knowing formally how to do certain things. So study is really important. And I'm not saying that it's not important to witches, of course it's important. And I think that's where we can probably, you know, take a lesson from, is that because I'm only speaking for myself, but I can tell you that the amount of studying and the amount of knowledge that I have, I truly feel often pales in comparison to the average ceremonial practitioner. And I know that. I totally understand that. Part of that is by choice. There's a number of things within ceremonial magic that I don't embrace, that I don't relate to. And I don't, that's not part of my practice. And so I'm not, you know, saying that that's, like, I'm not feeling guilty about that. But I also understand that that's a whole different level of
dedication.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
It's a whole level of dedication.
And it's a different kind of dedication. But the point being is, I think to see and understand and really recognize and acknowledge the importance of knowledge is where we should be coming from.
Yes.
And see, I think it's also important that people remember there's more than one kind of knowledge too. You can study all day and be stupid as hell because you're not experiencing anything. Some things are through lived experience and being open to learning from the experiences that you go through.
Yeah.
It's not all book work.
No, it's not. It's a lot of trial and error and...
experience. Because, and this is where we can go back to a lot of the shit that we've said about respecting elders in this community, because a lot of the shit that comes with this lifestyle, you can only learn through experience. You can read as many books as you want, bitch. You haven't been through it. You haven't seen it. You haven't participated in it. So you don't fully understand it. And there's a lot of people who think they know something about something occult. And then when they actually experience it, they're like, fuck, I wasn't ready for that. No shit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think a perfect example, I don't know if it's a perfect example, but you know, just an illustration. So actually on one of my videos, I had somebody recently comment, and this person mentioned that, you know, she studied Thelema. She's been a practitioner for many, many years. She's been a Satanist, a satanic witch. And so it was a sex magic video. And she mentioned the importance of doing a banishing ritual. You know, for her, she feels like that is a crucial component of a sex magic ritual. And although I don't disagree with her, at the same time, for me it goes back to, you know, that's not always. The banishing ritual, more specifically the lesser banishing ritual, the pentagram of the LBRP, you know, that really is more, that's certainly not all practices or all cultures. And with the vast majority of my practice being more folk magic based, that's absolutely not part of that. And so that's not important to me. But some of the things that I mentioned in that video are more ceremonial magic related. And if you notice some of the videos, at least on my videos, I will illustrate and tell you how something is used in other magical systems. Because again, I feel that having that knowledge and knowing what's happening in other magical systems will empower you more, not necessarily to adopt it per se, but to understand why those other magical systems use that, and then if you can apply that to your practice, then that just makes you a better practitioner. So you may not choose to perform the LBRP, but you may still choose to do something to achieve the same purpose, which is the protection of your energies, to shoo away the negative energies. You know, you may have your own methodologies within your tradition or your culture or your practice to do that. And so, again, that goes back to how knowledge is power. Don't shy away from other magical systems and learn it about them if that is because that's not what you practice or what you choose to do, because you can still learn from it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's what we do in a lot of our videos, is we talk about our systems and our practices, but we also discuss, look, you need to know that it is in this other practice, but this is how they do it, and this is how that does it. And that's also
the more important thing is why they do it.
Yeah. And it's a good, really good knowledge to have outside of your system. That way you can either incorporate it, or you just know that it is there and everything.
Or like, you can learn how to protect against it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, I mean,
your own magical system, your own tradition, and see, what do we do to solve this purpose? So so for instance, Wiccans, many types of ceremonial magic and some other traditions, they cast circles. Others will lay a compass, you know, and so you can say, oh, well, my practice doesn't do that. That's fine. But then look and see, okay, why do they cast circle? Why do they lay a compass? What is the purpose? Is maybe I don't want to cast a circle because that's just not what I do, but maybe I understand why a person feels it important to cast a circle, and maybe I need to think about, do I need to do something to achieve those same goals? Did I lose you?
No, you're good. No, and I mean, it's exactly that way you can figure out your own path, what works for you, and just knowing and knowledge in general of everything around you and other practices and cultures is just a good thing to have. Mm-hmm. You know,
but I'll use the casting circle, for example. So I don't cast circle.
Neither do I ever
cast circle. Now, a lot of times there's a couple of main reasons that people choose to cast circle. One is it's for protection, to protect themselves from external energies that perhaps they don't want to come in, be it malefic or negative or what have you. It's also to retain the energy within your space, okay? So I actually find the reasoning for that very reasonable. And it's very logical. And I feel that I accomplished that not by casting circle. I have my ancestors, I call my ancestors to surround me for that very reason, to look at their energies, enhance the energies, isolate the energies, and protect me. That's my version of casting circle.
How funny, because that's what I do too. Like use that, and I have different things that I do to specifically. I don't cast circles, I don't do compasses. Because for me, honestly, not that I'm lazy, it's just way too much work for me when I would just want to get the shit done.
Right, right. the point being is that, you know, it's not the method itself, it's the reason. Yeah. And if you agree with the reason, then you find a way to accomplish that. It doesn't have to be that particular method.
Exactly. You can find something that works.
That's where the knowledge growth comes from.
Yes.
Or is for.
And we all utilize that part of the pyramid very much.
Is there anything else you want to say about that, Ms. Hestia?
Nope.
She's so, like, nope.
The next one is to will. So that one is basically that saying that we make things happen through our will. That's the easy way to say it. It is our will that allows us to make things happen. It is not the herbs that we put together or the pretty spell jar that we made. It's not the fancy incantations. Some of that is lending different components to your working, but it is our will. Our will itself that is making this happen. And I think that for me personally, that is important to understand, because what I see today is that people spend a lot of focus and time and putting the importance on the things that people are using.
That you use, yeah.
And the quote-unquote intention. And intention is just another word for purpose. Of course, we have a specific purpose. That's why we're doing the working to begin with. But it is not just... I keep hearing intention only is key. Intention only. That's just a wish, sweetie. Intention, yes. Goal. If you just think on your, replace the word intention with goal. And if you just concentrate really hard on your goal, that's a wish. That's just a really fancy wish.
Okay? Right?
This one, I actually have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So, also, and this might just be me. Again, I want to preface this by saying that I have not studied the Witch's Pyramid in depth at all. So to me, there's a difference between intention and will. Intention, again, it's a wish. It's like, okay, this is what I want. Cool. To me, will is your ability to make it happen.
Exactly.
Willpower.
And again, this is where I kind of sound like a douche. Fine, so be it. But I feel like if you're a born practitioner, not a taught practitioner, I feel like the universe kind of instills you with the knowledge of your will before you actually acknowledge what you are. My example is growing up, whenever anybody would hurt me in a way that was like traumatic. I don't mean like, oh, my bully called me fat. No, I mean like pain, trauma, anybody who really, really did damage to me, they would suffer immeasurably, all because they hurt me. And once I started catching on to that, like, damn, everybody who really crosses me gets their shit back tenfold, hard as fuck, quick as fuck. I'm like, I wonder why. And my whole life, I was just like, I wonder why. And it was the universe being like, bitch, because that's what happens when somebody crosses you, because you're able to do this.
Uh-huh.
And see, when I first started studying, and when I,
I said that's spot on.
Oh, and when I first started studying, and of course, a lot of people who are new, they get shoved Wicca books and ceremonial magic books. Everybody's just like, here's the fancy stuff that we want you to look at. So I always felt like the magic I was doing was very lazy, very half-assed. I always kind of felt like, damn, do I take it serious? Because I'm not putting on robes and hats and doing all this craziness, and I don't cast circle. Like, I'm like, damn, am I slacking? But it's no, because see, anybody who knows me knows that I was born with very intense will. There has never been a time in my life, even as a kid, like if I was at school and I didn't want to do something, literally nothing the teachers could say would make me do it. You could not scare or intimidate me into doing anything from a very young age. So once I started putting together like, okay, if you do this to me, I feel this way, somehow this is the result. Then you start learning about how you can control that. That's where your will comes in. Is your will strong? Because will is also, not only is it your ability, but it's a talent that you have to hone. And it does not matter what your intention is. It does not matter how bad you want something. If your will is not strong enough to make it happen, then you might as well just go get a mundane job and save for it and make it happen that way.
Yeah, dude. Great. It's willpower. You know, everybody has that certain amount of willpower. And if you don't have, you know, in the mundane sense, you know, if you don't have the willpower to do what you need to do in life, then you're not going to succeed. And so that's the same in your practice. If you don't have that in you to be focused and able to do what you want, you're not going to get the shit that you want or need or anything. And that's even just using energy manipulation.
And it goes
to tie this back into what I think a lot of people have been used to hearing over, I don't know, since this has become really more popular, is you will hear people say things like, when you speak what your purpose is, what your intention is, that you don't speak it in terms of, I wish I had, or I will be doing this. You speak it as it's happening now. And that goes, again, that goes back to, we do through our will. It goes back to self-confidence. You have to be confident in what you're doing. It is happening. It's already happened. You have confidence in what you're doing because you know that your will is making it happen. So this is not just a nice statement to say, oh, it's our will that's making it. This really has to, it's the difference between you saying, I wish I had this versus I have this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just how it's going to go. Like, if you don't have the will, there's not going to be a way.
Wow. That's a cookie right there.
No, what?
I said that's a fortune cookie right there.
Yep, there's my fortune cookie for the day. You're welcome. So there's that.
Are we on to the next?
Yeah. The next one is to dare. So overall, that basically means that we dare to do what we do. We dare. We take risks. We do things that might be outside of our comfort level. We step outside of our comfort zone. It can mean so many different things. We dare to interact with beings that perhaps we maybe initially be a little intimidated by, maybe.
Sometimes it's thrust upon you by other people.
Yeah, but it's about stepping outside of your comfort zone. And again, this ties back to your will. You know, your will is strong, and therefore we dare to move forward with things that maybe the average person wouldn't, because we know our will is strong and we know that we can accomplish this.
And see, that goes back to any strength, even if it's like physical strength. Like, if you're physically strong, you fear less people because you know that you can defend yourself.
Yeah, that's very
true. So if your will is strong and you know you can make shit happen, you're less afraid to step into certain rings where you're going to have to make shit happen.
Yeah.
Because you know you can, and you got it. You're good.
And this also goes back to, dealing with some of your internal boundaries or societal boundaries. You know, this goes back to revisiting your dogmatic influences that either have been imposed on you by religion growing up, societal impositions. You know, you dare to go past that because you know there's something more than that. Or you know that that is initially restricting and limiting. And so sometimes it is, you know, again, not to repeat myself, but it is stepping outside of your comfort zone when you have to face your dogmatic influences that have been so ingrained you didn't even realize that they were there. That takes you out of your comfort zone because you have been comfortable in just assuming that, oh, I'm doing the work of Satan. Or you're just assuming that, oh, I'm not supposed to do hexes because, you know, that's bad, and everything's supposed to be good. You know, you're facing those simplistic statements that have been literally ingrained in you, and you are revisiting that, re-exploring that, and tearing it down.
Or just self-doubt in general. Like, some people have a lot of self-doubt and they don't want to step out of their comfort zone because they doubt their ability. And, you know, if you doubt your ability, of course, you're not going to be successful in anything, whether it be normal human everyday life or in witchcraft. Like, be confident in who you are and what you're doing to be able to step out of that comfort zone.
And honestly, some people will never really truly be able to progress in this way of life, because they're afraid to dare themselves to do these things. And it's because it's not easy.
No.
You know, this way of life, magical practice, whether or not you want to believe it or choose to believe it, magical practice is a type of spirituality. There is a spiritual journey in magical practice. And it's about facing facing your own spirituality and growing and learning and understanding, you know, the different components of that. And that's not always easy, because that means looking back at your life and saying, this is what I've allowed to influence me, either consciously or subconsciously.
Yeah, it's taking a self-inside inventory, and some people don't want to look back and check those files again.
No. I mean, the hardest thing is to look in the mirror.
Exactly. So it, there's a lot
the first
of...
First thing in the morning when you see the bags under your eyes and yeah, all that shit. You but know. We got it, right? Because we got to make ourselves presentable for the world, so we force ourselves to look at the mirror first thing in the morning. That's what we have to do spiritually as well.
Exactly. It's not, it may not be pretty sometimes, but it's something we do have to do. And it's not a bad thing sometimes. Sometimes you look at your back and you're like, well, shit, why did I do that? Let's fix that problem.
But I think the most important thing just to really take home from this is that, and this is going to sound bad because I'm not trying to, I am, and maybe you guys can help me word this better, but magical practice is not supposed to be necessarily easy or always pretty or always sweet. You know, it does require you to be willing and strong enough to challenge yourself, to look at yourself, and to make those tweaks and changes and do things, like I said in the very, very beginning, that the average person would not do. Because you know that the end result is for the betterment of your practice.
You also have to look at the outside world in a different way also. A lot of people don't want to.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just, you've got to do it, people. It may not be fun. Just do it.
Do you have anything else you want to say about that, Hestia?
Not really. When we were talking about to know, did we also discuss knowing yourself?
No, we did not. But
I just thought about that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think, as you have probably picked up on, are these different components, they actually do intertwine and they have to do with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you will see wrap up in the last one when we talk about to go. But no, go ahead, keep going and talk about knowing yourself.
I just wanted to make sure that we didn't skip over that, because in addition to, you know, studying and formal intake of knowledge, like books and so on and so forth. And I know we talked about experience, but knowing yourself and knowing your limitations also is vital to what you know. Because one, as an occultist, you have to understand that the occult is a huge umbrella term for so many things. And no matter what you study, no matter how long you study, no matter how adamantly you study, you will never know everything. You will never be fully in control of everything in the entire universe in every way. So there's going to have to be times, I actually meant to bring this up when we were talking about to dare, because you have to be willing to be brave enough to face things that you know you're not going to be able to control.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that is terrifying. Like, it really is. Like, so you have to have some backbone.
And that is why that key word is there, to dare, because you literally are daring yourself. You know, just like the truth or dare, everybody shies away from dare because that means you're going to do something that you might not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we do, you know, in our practice, we are constantly trying to face ourselves. And to Hestia's point, you can't face yourself if you don't know yourself.
Yeah. And personal growth is super, super important to you retaining and furthering your knowledge as well. Because if you know everything about the path that you practice, but you don't know anything about anybody else, you're walking around pretty blind. And if you're going to just be like, okay, well, this is what I practice, I don't need to know anything about that, you're going to have to look at yourself and be like, why am I so closed to learning about something else outside of me? There's almost always, actually, I don't even want to say almost, there's pretty much never going to be a time in your life where there is nothing about you that you can't be working on learning about yourself, because you change over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not the same person you were 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. So you're not only are you going to constantly be learning new information from books and experience, you're also going to be constantly learning about yourself, because I am in no way, shape, or form the exact same person in my 30s as I was in my 20s, as I was in my teens. And there's been times where in 1 year, at the beginning of the year, I was one way, and by the end of the year, I was completely different, depending on what happened that year and what changed how I thought about certain things. So there is always, you're never going to be done studying or learning about anything, not even yourself.
Mm-mm. And by the way, that statement that you made is so crucial. I'm going to tell you.
Which one?
The younger that you are who's listening to this, that's probably a harder thing to hear. That really, and I, this is not talking down, but that truly is life experience that where you can finally come to that conclusion. You know, I know not many of you have bought my poetry book, which is okay, no problem.
But, I love it, so be quiet. It's amazing.
To be fair, we haven't really been pushing that either. We usually push our bitchy witchy books. But yes.
But there's a poem that I wrote in there that has to do with just that, because it was a time in my life where I finally came to that realization. Like, I thought I had everything worked out, but it seems like every decade I keep realizing, didn't you just have it worked out? No, I've changed. Well, shit, now I got to rework it out again and start again. That's never going to stop. And I know it's easy to, especially when you're younger, to say, this is me now. I'm always going to be this way. I mm-hmm. promise you, you're not.
You're not. Yeah. No, you're not.
Some of it will be. I mean, there's some things in me that at 15 years old is still in me, but there's many things that are way different. And that's not a good or bad thing. That's just life. That's just growth. And don't be afraid of that.
And that's another thing you can talk to me about on Mondays, because your chart will, if you do perfections and look at your chart yearly, you'll see that even your chart will tell you, hey, there's going to be some life-changing shit happening in this decade or in this year. And it checks out in every way, shape, or form, whether you go, like, physically, you change. Mentally, you change. You mature and you go through things. And so... It reflects, however, self-analysis is a huge part of this life too. And it's on every level. You have to be very in tune with your physical body, because that's where your physical energy is going to come from. You have to be very in tune with your mental stability or lack thereof. Because I'm not saying lack thereof in a negative light, because sometimes my lack thereof is very helpful. So just never stop analyzing yourself in any way that you know how, whether that's just astrology, because you don't know shit about physical body, like take a biology class, but like understand yourself and check in every once in a while, because you might be thinking, oh, I still feel this way, and then when you think about it, it's like, oh, I don't feel that way anymore. There were a lot of soapboxes that even when I first started doing this podcast, if you go listen to our embarrassing ass first season, when I was just, I don't know what the hell was wrong. I was a bitch, man. But not that I'm not now. But
she has learned to tame it. And she's that's a great example. Like,
because it hasn't been that long. Yeah, just since we've been doing this.
Okay, so we've known each other for what? Going on 4 years?
Something.
Yeah. I think we've been doing this for three.
We've been doing this for three, but we've known each other for four. And I will tell you, from the first time I met Hestia to now, she is definitely not the same human as she was then.
And even not even just like spiritual progress and learning about that, but like you could, like my husband, when he first met me, we were friends years before we got together. And he knew me in my early 20s. And he's like, that girl and the person you are today, it's like, I don't even know if they would have known each other. They're so different. No. That's how much you can change. So if you're in your 20s and you're like, I'm gung-ho about this and that and the other, yeah, you might be now, but when you're 35 or 40 and you have more life experience and you actually understand some of these complicated things that you have really intense feelings about, when you're older and understand them more and can look back on how it affects people over time, instead of just being like caught up in your emotions about it right now, especially with things like politics and earth or like just world events. A lot of people are really, really like, this is how I feel about it. This is what the hill I'm going to die on. And that's fine. You might still have the same core values in 10 years, but I promise the odds of you feeling the exact same way you feel in your 20s, in your 40s is incredibly rare. And it's usually, from my lived experience, the people that are like that usually don't make a lot of progress in life because they don't progress themselves. Like their personality never changes. They never quite grow up. They don't keep learning. They're the, this is me, this is what you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I was that bitch. I was very much, this is who I am, deal with it. But you, if you're going to be like that for your entire life, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody really likes you.
No.
No, seriously, ask Bella and Brandy how much they liked me at the beginning and then how much they like me now. Even my husband will tell you, like the first 3 years we were together was hell because I was that person. I was very much like, I'm a bitch. You either deal with it or you could kick rocks, because if you don't like it, somebody else will. No, they won't. Nobody likes you treating them like shit. Nobody.
Yeah, dude.
I will say this before we go on to the next one. And that is, and this is Mama Bella talking, or this is make me sit to say it, or for some of you, Grandma Bella. Some of you younger ones, and I'm hoping that I can at least save one of you from what I went through, which is if you ever find yourself saying, I know me now. I'm done. I've addressed everything. I know who I am. I've faced all my character defects. Check yourself, because once you say that, something is wrong, because you should never be able to say that and actually mean it, because we will always, when we're 80, we should be revisiting, because if you are doing what Hestia, what we're all saying really is, you know, continually to revisit yourself and grow, then you won't find yourself saying that this is me, that's it. But once you start saying, like, I've done it all, I've already looked at everything, I'm fixed, I'm perfect now, then you're gonna end up in that type of person that Hestia was just describing. You stopped growing. And so check yourself if you ever find yourself saying that. Cause yes. I did. I got to that point. I got to that point once, and when I realized that that wasn't the case, I almost had a meltdown. And then I thought I fixed it. Then I thought again, okay, now you're good. And then it happened again, and I almost had a meltdown, and I was stubborn, and it took me two or three times to finally realize, like, no, bitch, you don't have this, and you never will. So let it go. And just face yourself
over and over and over again.
over and over.
Every
and
decade, over. Every decade, you're gonna have that. I'm honestly, dude, because I'm actually having that moment because this is, you know, I'll be 39. This is my last year in my 30s. I'm like reevaluating. What have I done before my birthday next year when I'm 40? Have I accomplished this? No. Have I done this? No. Okay, I've done this. Like, okay, now who am I? You know, I'm going to be 40. My kids are, you know, my oldest has got 3 years before he's 18. So it's like,
he bought his first car.
And he just bought his first car this week. So, you know, mommy had a moment like, okay, I'm no longer a mom of a little boy. I am now a mom of a teenage boy who is becoming
a young man. A young man.
Yes, a young man who is very independent now. So there, that, I mean, that is a life crisis outside of witchcraft, but that's a personality identity crisis at the moment.
And see, I think that's something that a lot of people don't speak on too. Like, life experience over time is what changes you mentally, emotionally, and physically. But a lot of people fail to forget how much having a child and their milestones will affect you. Your personal growth is not always something that you do. Sometimes it's things that happened around you. Sometimes like, it's your loved ones. Like, there's things that really changed how I feel about certain situations and certain people. And I wasn't even an active person in it. It was just something that happened to one of my loved ones. And now I'm affected by it.
Yeah.
And it makes me grow. It makes me be like, damn, what would I do if that was me? What if I was in her shoes? What if I was in his shoes? What would I do? How would I feel?
Yeah, dude. And I mean, like,
personal reflection and personal growth isn't always reflecting on things that immediately happen to you, but that happen around you.
Exactly. But also, we're not actually going on a tangent, because things that happen to you personally affect who you are spiritually and can affect your magical practice.
Exactly.
You cannot separate the two. Not 100%.
No, you can't. And I mean, because like this week, I was texting you both the day that we went to go to, you know, for him to go get his first vehicle. And I'm sitting here having a bawling moment texting both of them, like, you know, because I'm having one of those moments of, oh my God, who am I now? Because I no longer have a little boy. I have a young man who I now need to prep to be an adult. I mean, he's halfway there already, but you know, I have to switch now my goals and my train of thought, because I can't think of him as a 5-year little boy anymore.
Yeah.
So those emotions are going to really affect me in the next few weeks as I start settling into this phase of life, you know? So it's like, it's going to affect my magical practice, because I'm going to still be very emotional and questioning of, all right, who the hell am I now?
The last thing I have to say on it before we move on, or unless you guys have something to say, is that also part of knowing is knowing your circle, which is a reflection of you because it's a part of you. When a while back, I always forget her name. Here we go. Who's the lady that does the folklore in Appalachia on TikTok?
Primordial Roots.
Yes.
Yeah, Primitive Roots. Primordial.
Primitive Roots,
who we've talked about a few times. We like her. She once said on a live that I caught that when she finds out somebody else is a practitioner, she distances herself from them. She doesn't want to embrace them or like get to know them. And see, this is something I learned the hard way. I no longer want to make any new practitioner friends, because that affects not just you, it affects your circle and your craft. Because, okay, we all know that the three of us, well, the four of us even, have done workings together. Our craft has now intertwined. And I have had uncomfortable experiences when Bella is slacking in her shit. So it's one of those things, like, it affected me because they know that my loud mouth ass is gonna let her know, hey, get on it, like, because it's causing me problems, and I'm the loudmouth one that is not going to let you cause me problems. So I'm like, hey, I don't know what this shit is, but I need you to handle it, because this is not a me problem. This is not what I do. So get on it. And yeah, so be careful with who, with, because I see it so often, people want to connect with other witches to either learn from or befriend, so they have people to talk to. Okay, I understand that to an extent. People need to connect with other people. But be careful, because if you're a practitioner and you're making friends with other practitioners, once you start intertwining your craft, whether it's sharing knowledge or doing workings together, now you're open to shit that they deal with. That you might not like shit that Bella deals with, I'm not comfortable with. She's been doing this a lot longer than me. She's more comfortable with more things than me. So while I'm like, I'm very like, I tip my toe into the puddle before I step in it. So, and Bella's just like, I'm in the pool fully. I've been here. I'm in the deep end. So shit that she's comfortable with, when it affected me, I was like, I don't like this at all. So that was a very pivotal learning lesson for me, that when it comes to other practitioners, especially like, I'll have discussions with you, but I don't want to befriend you. I don't want you to be part of my circle. It's very much like, okay, my circle is closed. No new friends.
Like I said the other day, chat me about.
We are no longer taking applications.
No new bitchy witchies. Sorry. Yes. But no, it's it really is more of a spiritual purpose behind it, though, because my circle is complete.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go back to, though, you know, that's where, and to Hestia's point, I mean, her circle is small, but nonetheless, still, it can affect her, it can affect you, and we let our guard down. But that's where our protections, our wards, those types of things that, you know, we, because those things don't always mean I have to protect myself from a bad thing. No, yeah. it means, you know, keeping yourself enclosed into what you can handle.
Yeah. Now,
again, we talked about to dare, and so yes, you know, you definitely want to dare yourself to face some of those, but at the same time, you do so, you know yourself better than anybody else. You do it at your own pace, not at somebody else's pace or what somebody else tells you you need to do it. And so in this particular case, you know, it was something that was forced onto her versus something that she chose to embark on.
Yeah. So keep your circle, be very aware of your circle.
And it's not that you have to have a small circle, because some people really thrive in large groups of people.
Right.
So if you have 20 people in your circle, just make sure that your circle is solid, whether it's 3 people or 2 people or 100 people, just make sure that it's solid and that you are comfortable and aware that your energetic ties to these people, especially if you start interweaving your guys' practices, just understand that the dare part is going to come in too, because now you need to understand what your circle is comfortable with, because once you are part of that circle, guess what you're going to be encountering with them.
Yeah, because I feel all you guys' energy all the time, and it's like, okay.
And one final thought on that, that can affect your mundane partners too, because that shit scared the fuck out my husband. He was not happy. He was like, tell Bella, I said, get it figured out.
Yes,
because he's
when
around me, I do this like shit here at home. Yeah, he was like, hell no, uh-uh. To this day, he will not look out that window. So he's just done. He said, fuck that window. If it's not daytime, he's not having it. Yeah, so.
That just shows how connected we all are.
And here's the thing, it's not a warning, it's because it's so scary. Like once, and this is where it goes back to the experience being part of you learning, is see, I didn't prepare for that, so there was no protection against it, because I didn't expect it. So I had to face that and be afraid so that I knew, like, okay, I gotta make it don't happen again. How can I make sure that this doesn't happen again.
And to her point, you know, she's right, because when she was saying it, I was laughing inside.
Yeah.
I was laughing. Because, you know, yeah, that shit wouldn't scare me now. Probably would have 20 years ago or so, but.
And I mean, now we joke about it. It doesn't scare me anymore. If it happened again, I would not be afraid again.
No, you just did.
Yeah, I'd be like, Bella, really? You slacking again? Like, stop sending this motherfucker to my house. I got a problem with it. Get your people. But yeah. But no, I wouldn't be afraid anymore. I would just be irritated because it's going to scare my husband. And then I got to hear about it. And I just, no, don't do that.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm done beating that dead horse. Know yourself, know your people, study everything.
The next one is probably the one that you probably hear, at least Jason and I refer to often. And that is to keep silent.
And when I'm talking about it, I just tell you to shut the fuck up.
Yep.
So to keep silent actually refers to two different things. What I like to call, and I think I've said this before on blogs and probably in the video as well, it's what I call to keep silent both within and without. And what I mean by that is within, as in things that you are doing, particularly when it comes to magical practice. You know, you don't, like after you do a working, you don't sit there and harp on it and obsess over it and think about it. Is it going to work? Oh my God. And then tell everybody, this is what I did. And do you think it's going to work? And did I do it right? Like, you don't do that. You don't do that. And again, it goes back to that confidence about knowing that it's your will. Don't harp on it. The harping on it and the obsessive focusing on it, you know, can actually change your outcome, because you start second guessing yourself. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. And oh shoot, is that going to work? I didn't do it quite the way I thought I was supposed to do it, or the way I wanted to do it. You know, no, the work is done. Leave it be. Let it do its thing. After a working, you let it go. You walk away. You let it go because your will has it done. There is no reason to obsess over it. So that's the whole keeping silent within. Without is, honestly, when we tell you to shut the fuck up, it's because of that. You know, to be silent, when you read what Eliphas Levi wrote about that, most of his had to do a little bit about what I just said, but also with, you know, we don't talk about our practices with just about anybody. We don't sit there and post our latest pretty jar. Look what I did. And we don't announce to the world and share with the world in hopes that we're going to convince them that what we're doing is okay. What we're doing, it shouldn't bother you. Don't be scared of us. No, because the reality is that no matter how convincing you think you are, people have their own will. You don't have to be a practitioner to have a strong will. And if someone is very firm in their belief systems, it doesn't matter what you say. All it's going to do is cause you hardship and potentially cause others around you hardship, and worst case scenario, cause your community, in this case meaning the witchcraft community, hardship. So all of this open stuff that we're bragging about, again, I have to remind you, you know, yeah, I get it. We're sitting here on YouTube, you know, but we have pseudonyms. Like, we don't share.
Show my face.
Yeah. Because there is still that portion of us, you know, and when we share, it's methodical. There are plenty of things that we do not share when it comes to practice, when it comes to anything else.
And see, I have a very, very strong connection to my ancestors. Like, they got me hard. So there's been times where I wanted to show my face on the podcast. I've talked to them about it numerous times. Like, okay, I'm going to do it on this date, but something would always happen. It would never, ever work. And there's times where I just get the hard, no, don't you do it. And I heed that. I heed that because that connection is strong. And I always get the thought of, why do you need people to know it's you that's doing this? And again, it's going back to self-reflection, because it's like, why do you need the attention on this, what you're doing? It's like, this is so personal. Again, it's kind of like if I wanted to give you a play-by-play video on the internet where everybody could watch it of how I wipe my ass. Because it's something you do all the time, but it's really private and nobody really needs to know how you do it or what you're doing. Even if they know you do it, because everybody knows that everybody uses the bathroom. So it's, even if they know, okay, that person's a practitioner, you don't need to be like, hey, this is the jar I made today, or this is the working I did today, or I did this, or like, it's unnecessary. Yeah, and it goes back to one, why do you need that attention?
It was like, yeah. I grew up with my grandma telling me, you don't talk about politics, religion, or your sexuality. Those are private things that do cause issues with a lot of people. So you don't talk about it. You keep that stuff behind closed doors.
And even though, and I'm just going to make this one statement, we'll go on to the last one. But even though at least the folks on this podcast, none of us are religious, you know, understand that this practice is considered religious in some form or fashion to perhaps a person that you may be talking to, whether it be a person who just wraps up their religion in their magical practice, or talking to a person who is of another religion that views this practice as something that is considered evil in their religion, you know, so. Kind of, I hate to say, consider this a religious topic, but for some people it is. And so really, I just honestly just ask everybody to think twice. If you think that you absolutely have to share something or divulge your practice to somebody else, I just ask you to look to yourself and ask yourself why.
And also, before anybody starts the whole religion versus spirituality argument, it's tired. First of all, it's very tired. Shut up. Stop talking about it. It's a dead ass subject. But let me explain to you why everybody's fucking wrong if you're picking sides. Religion is a spiritual thing for the people who are of that religion. So it's the same thing. Shut the fuck up. It's the same fucking thing. It's just they have organized names. Wicca is a religion and it is the spirituality. It is the same thing. It's the same thing as being like, I believe in a God, but I'm not Christian. I'm not this. I'm not that. Like, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the last one, and this is the one that Aleister Crowley came up with, and that is to go. And really all that means is to take the four pillars that we already talked about, to continuously recognize, employ them, and go forth with your practice and always revisit that. Know that you are doing those things for the sake of growing yourself spiritually and growing yourself as a magical practitioner. So it again just kind of rounds out everything. That doesn't really stand on its own per se. It just kind of ties it off into a beautiful little bow. Is that, like we talked about earlier, those four things don't stand independently of themselves. They intertwine together. And if you constantly keep those things in mind in your practice and in your spiritual growth, then you, in theory, will then grow as a magical practitioner, grow spiritually, and even grow as a person.
Yep. Especially when you look back to the shit you did when you first started to where you are now.
Exactly.
You know, you look back, oh, when I started, I didn't know that and I didn't do that right. So So look at me now.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
And that is the Witch's Pyramid, everybody.
Yay.
I think the one thing I have to say about the Witch's Pyramid as a whole is you can ask them all the way up until like yesterday or the day before. I was like, I don't want to do this episode because I don't study it. I don't implement it, blah, 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 blah. And Bella's like, no, I think you should. And I'm kind of glad I did because I guess I do implement it. I just never gave a shit to give it the title because exactly. again, I feel that there is a dramatic, it's not slight in the least. I feel like there is a dramatic difference in born practitioners and learned practitioners. And I feel like born practitioners, it's an innate it's an innate sense that you are born with to shut the fuck up about certain things. Like you don't need to share that. It's an inert feeling of, I don't need attention for that. Like I can get attention other ways. I don't like, yeah. So
leave it to the ceremonial magicians to formalize it,
mm-hmm.
and for witches to realize
and to make it all fancy.
But and witches to realize that this is actually a learning and teaching moment, you know, because there are, and especially today, I see new practitioners that when they learn about the Witch's Pyramid, there is an aha moment for them. The light comes on. Because again, this, everything that we talked about, this isn't new. And this isn't stuff that I guarantee a single one of you listeners have not at least noticed or thought about in the back of your mind. But it kind of puts it all together and hopefully can help clarify what you're doing as a practitioner and what it all means to you.
And see, information like this, even if it's something you haven't studied and you hear it and you're like, okay, that sounds correct. Being open to the lesson, regardless of who's teaching it, is really important because I don't study anything Aleister Crowley said.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where this came from. You know, like up until today, I was like, I even asked, I was like, what tradition is this from? Like, who studies this? Where is it from? And then, you know, just to find out that the name came from here, but this has been something that this is like a sixth sense that we were born with naturally that finally somebody put a title to so that we can teach it properly. And I can appreciate that regardless of where it comes from.
Yeah,
make it easier to talk about it and learn about it. I'm going to quote one of my favorite people ever, Eddie Griffin. And he was like, it doesn't matter where you get the message from. Did you get the message, motherfucker? And it's like, who cares? Like if the message is correct and it works and it's information that is beneficial to you, who cares who taught it to you? Appreciate the information, take it and go on and do what you need to do with that information.
Bingo. That's a lovely wrap-up statement.
Yep. There you go.
Mic drop.
We all had our sage's hats on today.
Look at us. All important.
Well, I appreciate you guys discussing this. I felt that it would be a good discussion for people to hear.
It was a fun one to have too.
And I mean, like I said at the beginning, Bella did do a video on it, but we wanted to be able to draw from that video and explain a lot more about it because, you know, it was a short video.
Yeah, and it was more of a informational historical. And so this way you can kind of hear how we put those concepts to how we apply it, you know, in our lives. Even and for these two, even unknowingly, because again, it's innate. We haven't said anything new here.
No.
But yet, I'm sure that there's going to be some aha moments for some people.
And also, I'm not trying to slight any learned practitioners. You guys are obviously valid too. It's just it's easier. I really appreciate the fact that this has this label and it's easier to talk about now. Because now it's easier to teach learned practitioners who might not have naturally felt the need to be quiet about it. Because I feel like that's a huge problem that we've discussed a lot with people on social media and stuff. And it comes from learned practitioners, not born practitioners, learned practitioners who don't know anything about the witch's pyramid because they weren't born with that being one of their senses.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
It is. It's an absolute.
I mean, not to go on a tangent, and so I won't, but I'm just going to make the statement is that's where I feel that there's some dogmatic influence in at least some of those people that underlying subconscious urge to proselytize to others to explain how wonderful this walk of life is. But no, that is not inherently what we need to do. That's inherently what other religions need to do, though.
And that's not part of our
system. I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's not part of our system. So there you go.
But, yeah. All right. On that note, I'm going to head back inside the hospital. If you didn't notice, I'm in the parking lot of the hospital. So I'm going to go back in to be with Clyde.
Yes.
So if you haven't already, please like. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. Got a lot more content coming out soon. Again, don't forget, we got books on Amazon, shows every Sunday and every other Monday. And yeah, we will see you next time.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.